The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I have no clue what it is that people do at 11 o'clock in the day. But I do know that I'm on radio at 11 o'clock, and so if you're listening to me, I want to say thank you to you for that. If you're in your car, you know the rules, you take the knob off, you never need to move the station, I'm going to be here, I'm asking you to be here, and we'll be here together. It's Friday, right? You know the thing. It's Friday, evening, bim, the people tired of working, ba-dum-ba-dum. I'm so happy to be here, so happy to have you in my company. I am continuing my series. So I had this little thing, you know, it's March, so it's law enforcement month slash the defense force month, right? And since I have a bias, I decided that I would have some of my friends come and we would talk about life inside the uniform and life after the uniform and some of the things that we've done while we were in and some of the things that we're getting into while we're out. I think I have a pretty decent bag mixed for you this morning, though, because, you know, it is also International Women's Month, right? And so I thought to myself that I had to have a woman. There's just no way that I could go through the entire month of March and not speak to a couple of enlisted women, right? And so I've got one of the original women that have ever walked through the gate of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. I don't know what must have been going on in her mind in 1985, but she was among some of the first. Beside her, I have somebody that's not a woman. But he's definitely been a household name in and around the organization, particularly during the time that I met him. And he's going to be here with me this morning as well. And they're going to be my guests. And we're going to talk about life after the gate. What has it been like? Some of the things that happened on the inside of the gate that made life outside of the gate a bit easier. We're going to talk about some of the things that have conditioned their lives or their minds and some of the things that they still hold on to. Both of them have done somewhere in the area of about 25 years. I think she's done 25 years in, must be 2 weeks. And she in here waving 25 years to the day. Yeah. And I think he did something like 26. But so far we've had one guy that's done 18, two guys that did, one did three, the other did 11. And now we have people that actually have gone to the pensionable age, right? And they're still very young people. I think she's been gone for a bit and so is he. But now they're contributing to the outside world. They're contributing to the society. I have with me Miss Pernell Ambrista.
Henfield.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because, you know, woman has changed name. And you just have to remember that. Miss Pernell Henfield. And petty officer retired, yeah?
Yeah.
Petty officer retired. And I have with me Mr. Lawson Clark, chief petty officer retired. Good morning, lady, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Palace. So, Pernell Ambrista, right? I know people are going to wonder. Let's start with you. The year 1985, yeah?
Yeah.
November it was?
October.
October 1985, right? I see some people around here say that they had heard about the shooting of the Flamingo and they wanted to go to war. That's what got them in the gate. What got a young Pernell, 1985, 35 years ago, wanting to walk through the gate?
Okay. Initially... Mm-hmm. My brother, I didn't even hear about the job.
Okay.
My brother, he brought two application forms to me, and he said, fill these out. I filled them out. He submitted them.
Mm-hmm.
I waited for them, for the Defense Force to call me. I wasn't thinking about no females on the job. I'm going to be making history. I just wanted a job. So I filled out the form. They called, and I got the biggest shock out of my life. When I entered the compounds through the gate of HMBS Coral Harbor,
mm-hmm.
every one of us, 16 of us, we were dressed in office attire. Because
mm-hmm.
we figured they wanted secretaries and typists, so we're going to be going in the office.
Yeah.
okay.
Rude awakening.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you came there clerically prepared, right? Ready yes. to type in. And you figured, this couldn't be too difficult. I mean, what could they want from us, right?
Exactly.
Big surprise.
Oh.
You obviously had not met Hubert Smith, because when I met Hubert Smith, Hubert Smith had a famous line, Chief. I don't know if you've heard this. He used to say, when Pinlin start this job?
yes.
He said,
yes.
He looking for man to send to sea.
yes.
So obviously they hadn't gotten the message, right? No. That Pinlin was looking for man to send to sea. That was the message I got from Force Chief Smith when I met him, right? People would say, oh, well, you know, Force, I work for Admin. He'd say, Admin? Pinlin say he looking for man to send to sea. Go to sea. You didn't get that memo.
And furthermore, I grew up on the family island.
Wow.
We only played our radio when it was time for the news.
For the news. Yeah. Yeah. So, Chief, you also came in 1985. Earlier that year, is it February?
June.
June of 1985. So you would have been you would have been in the last entry of men to serve in a force void of women.
Yes.
So that would have been entry 17.
Yes.
All right. How into the mic. How many of you were there?
There were 53 of us, actually.
53 people. Give me some names of the people that you served beside.
It'll be me, Eddie Ben,
uh-huh.
Corned Beef, uh-huh. Ralph Gibson.
Ralph Gibson, Big Beefy.
Basil Miller, Ike Miller, mm-hmm. Michael Sanders.
Okay.
Who else would have been there? Brian Newbold,
mm-hmm.
Marvin Newbold, Uncle Bud,
yeah.
Taylor. Who else we got?
It's a big entry. Uh-huh.
Granville Adley. We got, who else we got there? Warren Smith.
Okay.
Gunny
Smith, too.
Yeah, Gunny.
Okay. All right. So that's the last bunch of fellas that we enlisted before women, right? You come into an all-male force, and I'm sure there must have been whispers about this group of women coming. What was that like in the minds of people that were in the organization at the time?
Well, when we came in, you know, we didn't really hear about that until came down close to passing out.
Right.
Right. So we were basically focused on our training.
Okay.
And getting out, passing out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, training was kind of rough.
Brutal. It was
brutal. Yeah. There was days, man. You couldn't report sick. You couldn't, you know, that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
You know, so we were really focused on that. We wasn't really tuned into, like, the politics with the women until. Mm-hmm. And even when they first came in, it was kind of separate from the force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for me, I could, but I was on a boat.
Right.
And so you was on a sailing craft. You went to sea for minimum 14 days, coming for four,
mm-hmm.
and then you go back for another 14.
Wow.
Well, back in those days, we had more operational boats than we could crew.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, if this boat wasn't running, well, hey, you all jump on that one.
Okay.
You see, so it wasn't so, I wouldn't have been too familiar with any politics with the women because I was on the craft. Mm-hmm. I was going to sea.
Okay. So what did it feel like, Henfield, getting in? It's obviously not what you thought it would be. There's nothing here to type. We ain't typing nothing. We training man for war. That's what we doing, right? And so now you have this baptism by fire. This job is obviously not what you thought it would be. What makes you stay?
Oh, trust me. After the first 2 weeks, mm-hmm. they allowed us to go home.
Okay.
I called my mom and I was like, I don't want to go back down there. And I don't even remember what she said because I was crying so much.
Yeah.
But I still went back and I completed the training. And I'm happy I did.
Right.
Because I found it to be a good opportunity.
Now, you did 25 years. What are some of the billets you've served in over the course of the 25?
Okay, I started out in headquarters in mm-hmm. the typing pool.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went into the base registry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back in headquarters in the account section.
Okay.
Then I went in sick bay. No, sorry. I went in training. Then I went in sick bay. I retired out of sick bay.
Okay, so. I remember that. I remember you were the surgeon commander's secretary. Mm-hmm. Correct. I do remember that. And what about you? What about you, Bob?
Okay. Well, I served in the squadron mainly, mm-hmm. right? And then after serving in the squadron, I went in commando squadron, which was at that time MOP.
Mm-hmm.
From MOP, I went back. I went into training. Mm-hmm. Back into squadron and operations, then back to mop, and then out the gate.
Okay. Okay. I think your years in training would be considered your more notorious years.
You know, basically, I think I would have made myself available to any Marine who was in any trouble, mm-hmm. no matter where I was.
Okay.
So even when I was stationed in Elutra, if a Marine found himself in some difficulty, I would fly back and go and represent him. If it was a kind of challenging case, I will go and I will sit down with a lawyer, mm-hmm. get my advice, mm-hmm. and then I will go and represent him all on my own expense, because early in my career, I encountered a situation where commander role, he wasn't a commander then, they call him MM, mm-hmm. right? And I always tell me young Marines, despite what Harry might say, but John, what is your experience with John? Mm-hmm. That's what counts to you. Mm-hmm. And MM stand up for me, and I actually did what the people said I did. You know, and I tell him, I actually did it. And yeah. I watch MM go on to bat, and I mean, he was all out. Mm-hmm. I was amazed when I was ready to confess. Right. And so from that experience, I learned one thing. No Marine should never stand alone.
Yeah.
You know, whether he's right or wrong, the fact is he should never
stand beside the men.
Be there alone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you must be fair to the process.
Sure, sure.
So. And that is why I, well, did what I did.
Yeah.
You know, throughout my career. Well, you know.
Yeah, of course. He might get his clothes tear off him afterwards, but at least while he's standing before the court, he has some support.
Yes.
I could appreciate that. So, okay, so you did 25 years. There is an option to do 35. Why not give more? You were both fairly young. I mean, Miss Enfield sitting here looking like she could do another 10 right now.
Yeah.
Right? Why get out at exactly 25? What prompted that?
It was my, that's the goal that I set for myself.
Okay.
I said, after 25, I'm going to exit and I'm going to move on. It didn't work out quite the way that I wanted it mm-hmm. to afterwards, mm-hmm. but God, it's good.
Mm-hmm. So how old were you when you got in? I mean, when you got in, were you 18? Because I think the women, some of you all joined a little later. You all didn't come at exactly 18.
No, I came right out of high school.
Okay. Okay. And what about you?
Yeah, but I would have been 18. I would have just turned 18.
So after 25 years, you're talking about perfectly young people, like 43, 44 years old, possibly.
Okay. Yes. I spent 27, actually. Well, what happened was, you know, I kind of, I like to tell people I never missed a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than when point, I'll get promoted over me. But I didn't like you know?
Yeah.
But so I kind of raced up the right, mm-hmm. up the rates, and I had trained, when I went back in commando squadron, the deputy commodore and the commodore had given the commanding officer at that time, Commander Pinder, a specific tasking mm-hmm. that they wanted, and we were in the process of putting that out. So I met a group of young able hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Doyle Boris was one of them. He was an able seaman at the time. So we did a lot of training, did some leadership training, development training, what's not. And so one day, you know, 4 years has passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I give Doyle an instruction. So Doyle look at me and say, Chief, where you leaving, man? You know, and I tell people, you know, one person can feel when their leadership influence is waning
mm-hmm.
is you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know when that's waning.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when he said that, I looked at him and I laughed. I went back to my office and I said,
boy, Lawson, it might be time, you know.
You know, I said, but just 4 years ago, he never said it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so after that, I just start to look around and I realized that, you know, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time. There is really nothing that I can contribute that they couldn't. I think it was about, I can remember Mizek, Doyle, Albury. Then you had some persons who were junior to them, Tucker,
mm-hmm.
and the little rural fellow who always pissed me off.
Yeah.
But you could see their development process coming up, whereas if you stayed, then it would start
you'd stifle their growth.
Yeah, you stifle their growth.
Yeah, because you call a couple hot shot fellas like they pocket rockets. You know what I mean? Like Doyle is
correct.
We've got it almost 18 years, and Doyle's still trying to rappel off buildings and things. Like
correct.
That. I don't know.
Correct.
What's going on with
you see, so you know, so you felt it. You felt it. I felt it.
Yeah.
So and the opportunity came, and so I took the opportunity and left.
Okay, and you left a chief petty officer, which is one rank beneath, or well, one rate beneath the highest rate you could have possibly gone.
Yes, yes.
All right. Yes. Okay, so you came outside now, and you know, I from my own experience, I found that life outside the gate is much different than life on the inside of the gate. Life on the inside of the gate, simply, it's simple. We're all numbers. And if my number is smaller than your number, you move because I said so.
Yes.
And that's pretty much how it works, right? And in the instances where it's not about the number, well, let's look at the nominal role. And if my name show up before yours, then the man must have knew why he did that. I said to move, mister, get off your eggs and on your legs. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it works in the military, right? But you come out here in the Civvy Street and it don't work that way. I can tell you that right now. But people don't move because you told them to. It's a suggestion these days, right?
Yes.
And so you have to make the adjustment for that, right? After 25 years of being on the inside, coming out into Civvy Lane, how do you make that adjustment, Mr. Henville?
Okay. An example. Me and my husband, we had opened up a breakfast place.
Mm-hmm.
So you hire your staff. So our leadership was totally different.
Yeah.
He was more like humble and I was more of the aggressor.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't see eye to eye on that in terms of dealing with the staff.
Mm.
Because I felt like he should have dealt more harshly with them and he was so laid back.
You wouldn't drive the whip.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't have that.
Yeah.
No.
What about you, Mr. Clark?
Well, that, you know, when I left, I went into hospitality.
Yeah.
Right? They recruited me. I went, it was amazing to me. I like to say I still haven't fully adjusted now, and I haven't.
Yeah, me either.
I know I still haven't. I still processing a lot of things. But I found that our idea of work in that we work until the job is done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they work until the time
until the hours come, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know when the hours come, they gone, and it's lunchtime.
Yeah.
Oh, you think you still in the defense force? No, Mr. Clark, you can't speak to me like that.
Yeah.
But I ain't doing it, and you gotta make me.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's stuff like that. Oh, I would say something, and you know, they'll call me in HR, Mr. Clark, and listen, when me and the company parted, I fully accepted that I was in a good fit. I was not. I honestly tell you, I was not.
Right.
Definitely for hospitality, I am not a good fit.
Indeed.
Now, one thing I like, though, we have people out there who could do that pretty well.
Indeed.
And I stand up in amazement and watch them because I'd say, man, listen, I didn't knock his head off a long time. You see, and that kind of challenge. Sometimes I still face it, but now I'm in construction, which is a little bit closer to what I'm
right.
kind of built
right.
for.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Even in that, it has its challenges. You know, because we speak in a certain tone.
Indeed. So, you get out, you're mid-40s, you know, the argument is always about attrition and that kind of stuff. As you're approaching the time to get out, you're contemplating, you're considering your influence. People are saying to you, man, Lawson, you got more time left. Why not stay?
Well, I think I felt I had contributed what I could have at that time. And I also felt I wanted to see those persons who I had trained, I wanted to see them excel. And my understanding of leadership, which I've studied in depth through different courses that I have done, is that, you know, you after you start producing, you could also start to depress.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed, in order for those people to fly, it was time for me to go. The next thing was I looked around and there was really nothing that...
That you hadn't then?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to see what was out there. I really wanted to challenge myself to see what was out there.
All right, I'm going to a break. I've got my friends in studio with me. Nothing like when old soldiers show up. Miss Pernell Henfield, I got to get used to that. Pernell and Bristol just rolls off my tongue so easily, I don't know. And Lawson Clark, they're with me. We're talking about Life After the Gate. This is my series in Law Enforcement Month in honor of my friends down there in the Defense Force. We'll be back.
Heavens, no man, no weapon formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living
Jackie,
in us.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory.
Open this headphone up. There we are. Mr. Show, always on the go. You can now listen to Guardian Radio Talk Show anytime, anywhere, on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to www.guardiantalkradio.com and clicking the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you fresh news and smart talk anytime, anywhere, all day. All right, so I'm back. I've got my friends with me. It's Law Enforcement Month. It's Defense Force Month. And so I like to state my biases out front. The Defense Force happens to be my favorite law enforcement agency. I don't even know why that is, but for whatever it's worth, I decided that I wanted to have some of my friends come and we'll talk about life inside the gate, life outside of the gate, some of the things that transformed their lives while they were inside and how they are now applying that to their life on the outside of the gate. We think about the Defense Force often. We think about attrition rates, and largely we see the investment in the armed forces as guns and ships and men of war, right? And we never really think about how does that factor in when those men and women have left the gate and the contributions they make to the societies around them, how they go off to start small businesses that employ people or go into the construction field where they're able to take some of the skill of discipline, because discipline is a skill, and apply that in fields like construction, and you see the benefits of that in the wider society. And so I'm never really concerned about attrition rate and losing people with more time and more possibility in the uniform, because I know once they come out into the society, it will simply transfer itself. And so I brought my friends so that we can talk about what life has been to them afterwards. I think we got a call on the line. Let's go to the phone line, and then we'll go back to you guys. Come on, Nicola, you're on. Hey, Nicola.
Yeah, I've got a question for you, guest Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see the Defense Force now than where it was when they won it?
Well, ask the question again.
Where do they see the Defense Force now compared to when they won it? Are they moving forward, backwards, still what?
Okay. All right. I'll let Mr. Clark go for it.
Well, okay. I think Defense Force, it's moving forward. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of things has to be looked at from the political directorate point of view. I don't think the political directorate has a good appreciation for what the role of the military is. But I think Defense Force is moving forward. I'll come right out and say it. I didn't like how they performed in Dorian. I felt a bit let down by them because I know exactly what their training is and what they are supposed to do. So I would hope that we don't have a recurrence of that. But I think they're moving forward. I think they learn from lessons learned because that's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what I could do. I know what I would do in mm-hmm. different situations, and I was produced by them.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you, and both of you could help me with this, right? How does it feel to not be essential? like for me, during the entire pandemic, the entire lockdowns and everything, one of the things, and I have a media pass, right? But mm-hmm. to not be out there and in the wind blowing me away, or to not be, you know, trying to hold on to something to stop me from drowning out at sea while I go and rescue people that should have been in their houses and opted not to. What does it feel like to be home with everybody else watching the news while you watch everything blow away and you think to yourself, what are these people doing?
Well, it's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It is a struggle. I would tell you it is a struggle because, you know, you can pick up things from clips,
mm-hmm.
right? And you can pick up certain things from different statements that are being made by those persons who are in charge. You can see, well, okay, that shouldn't happen because this should have been in place.
Mm-hmm.
Or that shouldn't, well, why aren't we doing this? Well, who's accountable for that?
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, yeah, it's a challenge. I know in the pandemic one time, man, I couldn't take it anymore. I went outside and the mosquitoes were biting. I went back inside and looked around. I went outside and just got back, just got bitten. I just couldn't take the house anymore.
Lawson, look at what you come to.
Yeah. But I actually like to thank the competent authority because that 5 o'clock in the morning when he allow you to exercise, man, that saved my life. Because I would just go and walk.
Right.
I did 7 miles. I walked 3.5 miles up and walked 3.5 miles back. And the same people I met on the road every morning,
yeah.
And now we all are friends.
All right. What about you, Henfield? Did you totally different? Completely different.
I was quite contented
yeah.
to be home.
Yeah. This is the best time of your life.
What?
Wow. This was downtime. You couldn't imagine having all this downtime.
No.
when does life ever get this good? Eh? Wow, that is amazing. But I've heard a lot of people that have accepted that position, though, Mr. Clark, that hey, being in this house driving me crazy.
Yes.
I even cracked the joke, right? I talk about Derek Richardson all the time. He's one of my favorite people, right? Mm-hmm. And I would joke with him and I'd say, Chief, all this grand brain training you got, you mean to tell me and you can't get from here to Border Ski Dog and back without them decking us? And he would say to me, you know, he has that, he says, Mister, don't tempt me that way.
Yeah.
And that's because, like, you have all this stuff in your head and you learn concealment and you learn, you know, maneuvers and you learn all this stuff. And the way I see it, right, the boys who watching the OPs, we train them. I know exactly what they know.
Yeah.
I sure we could get past them, right? But no, we didn't do it that way. We all opted to stay home. But it is difficult. And even that is an adjustment, I would imagine. I've only done 10 years. People that have done 25 years, I don't know how they will even able to turn it off, right? Because it becomes who you are. You hear things, your mind responds to it differently. You see things, your mind responds to it differently. And so I imagine that's a tough adjustment to make. Some people are obviously excited to talk to you all. So let's take a couple more of these phone calls. Come on and call you on.
Morning, you are.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Good.
How are you? How all of you officers doing?
We're doing
great.
Good.
Good. Great.
Hey, yeah, my little one, I listen to you every day, right? I talked to Randy Mark the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Randy Mark said, yeah, but I never used to play up there, boy.
Yeah, no, he was, Randy Mark trained me. He was my, he was the senior training instructor. He was the, what was he at the time? I think he was.
Yeah, that's because, right?
He was something, yeah.
So, I tell him he was trying to get him, you know. He said, man, I tell him like, what it is, military, dude. Okay, come on.
Well, I'm gonna look him up.
Yeah, you gotta try to look him up, man. Talk to him.
No problem.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it.
I can give you my number. I need you to call me.
Hold for my producer. He'll take your number and I'll call you after the show.
Yeah, just remember Randy, my cousin.
No problem.
All right, bro.
All right, let's take another.
Good show. Good.
Thank you. Let's take another call. 323-623-2354-316-325-4259. You can text me 4224796. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Oh, God, it is, you know, voice along with you,
hey,
and
Bremen.
Your family, man.
Hey, Bremen.
I got a question for the three of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I want to say to the other brother, that mosquitoes sting, they doesn't bite.
Okay.
Now, my questions, right? Now, one is, how many times, what's the time period you stay in training those days pertaining to now? My second question is, do they train you after being trained to be militant, you know, would they teach you how to deal with the public when you come out of training, out of the military? My last point is, why is it that, and I want you to answer all of these questions.
Okay, Raymond, go on.
My last question is, why so many guys, when they go into, and some girls, into the Defense Force, they always become alcoholic or they drink a lot of liquor. Please answer those three questions for me.
No problem, Raymond. Well, go ahead. Let's... Which... Okay. Anyone of y'all want to take a
seat? Okay. Okay, my brother. The first question, I think when we first joined, it was 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and now they do 4 months.
Yeah.
I think
17 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, I think they add some time for some reason. I can't be sure why. Your second question was?
It was how long you do they train you on how to deal with the civilian population?
Well, I think they are now trying to introduce those courses on how to get us to decompress. But like I said, I haven't fully decompressed as yet.
And that's about 7 years later?
Yeah, that's like 7 years later. Mm-hmm. And I think they are trying to do that training. But up to the time I left, no, we didn't have that in place. As far as alcoholism, I don't quite agree with you,
mm-hmm.
right there. You know, we are sailors. And
yep.
When sailors come to shore from cool. sea, we like to have 102.
Yeah,
or maybe all, because yeah. we are sailors. So yeah. at the end of the day, I don't think we produce alcoholics. You know,
yeah,
that's my point of view.
Yeah,
on
I don't know if the numbers suggest that we produce
alcoholics. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean we know how to have a jolly good time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
yeah,
because yeah. you know the rule has always been you wake hard,
yes,
you play
hard,
and uh-huh. that's kind of how it is. Let's take another call. Come on, and call you on. Colida? Morning, Colida, you're on.
Levine, good morning. How you doing, my
I'm
brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And, of course, good morning to both of your guests in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
First, I'd like to open my comments with saying congratulations and thanking both of them. In fact, thank all of you for the service that you have given to the Bahamian people and the country at large, even though we do not know the full extent of the sacrifice you have made. But we are very appreciative that you have served. So again, thank you. Ivan, my first question I'd like to ask, and it was a very interesting question someone posed earlier,
mm-hmm.
what is their take on where the Defense Force is now mm-hmm. compared to when they first joined back then?
Mm-hmm.
That leads to this question. I know at some time the history of the Defense Force, it is said that a hotel was supposed to be built on that site.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of training and accommodations and the atmosphere there, how does our Marines, how do our Marines feel? There are they, even though, in other words, it's supposed to be training for catastrophe and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we want to give them some comfort while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Could they give us some idea of some of the comforts that they do experience there while they're training? And so it gives us an idea that once they come back into civilian life, how is their mental state once they come out of the service and back to civilian life? How easy is that transition back to civilian life?
Okay, no problem. Let me just add this. I Coral Harbor is a wonderful piece of real estate. It is an amazing piece of real estate. If God lives in the Bahamas, he walks past Coral Harbor every morning for sure. The breeze is fresh. It is amazing on that piece of property. So much so that Mr. Christie, as Prime Minister, when he came to do a tour of the base, I think at the time Mr. Scavallo would have been the Commodore. He said, "Man, why are we not using this as a resort? No, we've got to find a way to get these boys off of this base, right?" But that never happened, and the base still is where it is. But Chief, what is the Miss Enfield, what has the comfort level been like for you? I mean, did you find it uncomfortable down there at Coral Harbor?
I didn't find it comfortable,
right.
As comfortable as I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that you can't make it that comfortable,
mm-hmm.
because there will be times when you would be required
mm-hmm.
to face like rough situations. Mm-hmm. I remember spending the weekend in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a bed to lay on. No. I had to lay on the ground.
No, yeah.
So you can't make it that comfortable in training if you are preparing for war.
Mm-hmm. And the spaces are all very small. The spaces are all very small.
Yeah.
Everything is tight.
And you don't know these people, but
yeah.
you know we weren't experiencing the COVID at that time. So,
correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But outside of that, I mean, the ambience, the view is... It is amazing. The air is fresh. It's wonderful. Some people actually get into the habit of hanging out Coral Harbor because I guess that's better than some of the places they could find uptown. Yeah. Let's take this other call. I've had three of these shows so far. The phone lines were not doing this. So let's find out what these people want to talk about. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Levan.
Hey.
Hey, I want to just congratulate those folks that have served our country so well and to thank them.
Okay.
Because you know, it takes a lot from them and their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Also, too, I'd like to know how many Defense Force folks, if they know, is in service at the moment, and can national service be a deterrent to crime?
Okay. Well, both of them have been out of service for at least 7 years. We have no clue. What is happening on the inside of the gate. But national service, any of you have a view as to whether or not national service or automatic enlistment ought to be something we consider in this country?
Well, I think we need to consider national service. From my personal view,
mm-hmm.
I think the Ranger program should be developed into the national service. Not that every young person needs it. I think the majority young people do not need it, however. But I think we need to have build some system
mm-hmm.
where we are ensuring that people identify what is Bahamian, what is theirs that they must protect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What are those things that we are missing, right? When we look out there, and we don't get it. We don't see it. Like time management.
Mm-hmm.
One of my big challenges with my company now is getting my employees to come to work on time every day. Give me 7 hours for 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find that to be a challenge, right? Whereas, you know, you could learn from a military or a semi-military program what it is to be operationally
yeah.
minded.
Yeah.
That could be built into your system by the time you become a young adult.
Yeah.
You see? So I think, yeah, for me, the Rangers program should be developed into the national service. Do we need one? Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal view.
Right. And mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times in civilian world, I think civilians don't associate time management with consequence.
Yes.
Right? Like if you did a 30-miler and the man says you have 9 hours to complete 30 miles. Failing which, you will have to do the 30 miles again. Everything in your body, I don't care if your legs fall off. If you have to drag yourself to the finish point on your belly, you are going to get there in 9 hours because you understand that there's no way on God's planet I'm doing this again. Or if they say, listen, we need to get from point X to point Y, and the vessel that's taking us out of here leaves at 0800. Well, my brother, unless you want to be a POW, which will be a full day of beasting, you are going to get to the checkpoint at 08, because failing that, today is going to be a terrible, terrible, terrible day for you. And so in the service, we associate time with I do this or I die.
Yes.
I do this or people die.
Yes.
And that is why I think you see you give a military person time, and it is something he doesn't negotiate. 08 is 08. He might get this 7:59 if you know, if that is the case, right? but that is kind of why it is the way it is. I have a text right here that says, y'all RBDF jobs pay well and secure y'all, so that is why y'all work until the job is done. In most cases, people aren't paid well. I cannot let them abuse my body. Well, I mean, that is also a factor.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Being an employer,
Into the mic for me.
Being an employer, I can identify with that. Me and my wife, we started the company. I had a consultant that gave me a figure to pay laborers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to the supermarket. I've been married now for almost 30 years, so I stopped going to the supermarket years ago. I had to go to the supermarket one day, and I almost fall out. I couldn't believe it. I didn't believe the prices. I just came back, and I said, we got to pay these people more money. I said, because you experience certain things. You sit down, and you wonder, okay, on a Friday and a Saturday night, only females show up for work. Why aren't these guys working overtime?
Mm-hmm.
And so you realize that, oh, well, what they getting paid? Man, if I had to do all of this for that, I probably wouldn't do it either.
Yeah.
So I had to raise the pay. Now, obviously, that takes away from what my profit margin will be. So I can identify with what he said, but I will tell him this, that when I left the Defense Force, what I learned in the Defense Force, I have quadrupled my salary.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, I make more money outside the gig. That is
without
even thinking about it, I make more money outside of that uniform than I did inside. Now, the things that they pour into your head, right? The things that they've poured into you are the intangible investment.
Yes.
What tangible money, cash?
Yes,
I make far more money now.
Yes.
Someone here says, this is for you, Ms. Enfield. Ask your guests, from their perspective, how do they see, from the woman's perspective, if the new female recruits are as tough physically and mentally these days compared to their generation? And likewise, this is for you, Mr. Clark, if the young male recruits in the RBDF are as tough physically and mentally compared to your generation?
Okay. No. Let me just say that. Because back then, okay, we were the first, so we were like guinea pigs.
And what is the rule in the military? Never be the first. Never be the first.
So we didn't know that. We didn't get that memo.
Yeah.
So whatever they told us to do, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Without question,
mm-hmm.
we did. Now I think training has watered down, mm-hmm. so they're not.
And recruits have rights.
When
did that happen?
Over the years.
Yeah. What do you mean he has rights?
Different change in leadership.
Oh, wow.
So now, they have a lot to say.
Yeah.
They do it if they feel like doing it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not there.
I'm not there either. But it's just a whole lot different. What about you, Mr. Clark? What are your thoughts?
Well,
and you are a former training instructor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So from the days of Lawson Clark, the training instructor, to now, what are your thoughts about the process?
Well, generations is... of come and go, and I think we have a generational change in there.
Mm-hmm.
What I met was, I like to tell people that I came in with the old policeman,
mm-hmm.
right? The policeman who would have been on the Marine side mm-hmm. of the police force. So me coming in at 18 and Uncle Bud being in his 50s, I would see him as an old man.
Right.
an older man. I remember a story where I was down in Inagua and I got drunk. And 990 Miller, mm-hmm. Chief Dusty Miller.
Dusty Miller, yeah.
Right? I came back to the boat like 3:30 in the morning and you know the basin in Inagua.
Right.
So he had me running a cycle.
Yeah.
And so every time I would pass him, he had this belt, he'd hit me one whap, whap. And he ran me and threw water and beat me with this belt. And incidentally, that wasn't the last beating I got from 990 Miller.
Yeah.
But I also understood that, but I can call my daddy and tell him, but 990 beat me.
No.
He got to get me a lawyer because 990 assaulted me or something.
Yeah.
So I think the generations have changed. And I'm not so sure how we went about sensitizing them to this is what is needed to do this
job. If you're going to run a military, yeah.
Yeah, so that is why I think they appear to be softer than we were, but mm-hmm. I also think that they're more techno-savvy.
They're very technical.
Like where I wouldn't have dared and tell a senior man how we're doing it this way, they'll come out and say that. So I think if you are going to lead them today,
mm-hmm.
You have to be more equipped
mm-hmm.
than we were.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing I can say, the Commodore of the day is more equipped.
He
definitely is. Me and him would have come in slightly around the same time. I think I got a year or two on him. But we would have talked a lot, met in the gym. So I know some of his skills that he has, how he is going to translate that and communicate that throughout the force. I think that is where his challenge lies.
During the time that you were a training instructor, it was run to the war.
Yes.
These days, the fellas, they even run to the war. They even didn't drive to the war. They're going to fly a drone there.
Yes.
Chief, we can just fly the drone.
Good, yes. Yes.
Drop a couple of these bombs. Yes. It could be over, and we never leave the beagle, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's the new way of doing it. Let's take one more call before we get it there. Good morning, caller. You got a minute.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you?
And good morning to your guests. This has been a wonderful eye-opener for many of us who are civilians.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. I want to applaud our officers for the years that they've served our country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much left in them to give back to this country. And there must be some way that, especially as we deal with the erosion, more or less, I say, with the family and the training of our youth, I definitely endorse the youth program. And the Rangers program is an excellent program.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to really intentionally find a way to give back through the church, through our community, because we have to build a better, stronger Bahamas. And there's much in them still to give. We needed to come forth.
Thank you very much.
God bless each one of them and they're going. And I wonder how your family life has been, how it was then and how it is now, and the marrying public persons who are non-military, how that dynamic all worked out.
Okay. All right. Let's ask the lady first. How is it to go from being a big bad bigoty woman Marine to being Miss Henfield?
Okay. First off, I was never that. I was always a humble person.
Wow.
I actually got married the same year that I retired.
Okay.
So and my husband, he had worked previously on the Defense Force for a couple of years. So, you know, it wasn't like such a big transition.
Okay.
And like a point of note, our anniversary is actually tomorrow. So don't be shy. You can buy us a gift.
Okay.
Thank
no
you.
No problem. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
Mr. Clark?
Okay, well, mine should be slightly different. I think during my junior years, when I was a junior enlisted,
mm-hmm.
I would have had some challenges, whereas I had to leave the wife and kids on their own. Sometimes she functioned well, sometimes she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But as I grew, get more senior, and I started to train more junior men, I had different people that I could call on to go and assist her. Well, hurricanes were always a problem
mm-hmm.
because I have a wife and I have girls.
Yeah.
Then I had an aging mother and father on another island.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of split.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now things are wonderful. I'm home.
She loves it.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
home
yeah,
every day.
Yeah,
you can plant sunflowers, bake cakes, that kind of stuff. Thank you so much for joining me. Mr. Lawson Clark has been my guest. Pernell Henfield, see, I told you I'd get him at the end of the show, has also been my guest. We've been talking about life outside of the gate. It's Friday. You know the rule. Do everything in your power to make sure you don't kill nobody. Greater than that, do even more in your power to make sure nobody don't kill you this weekend. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't go anywhere. They've got the news for you next.
One son died. The spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us.